Good morning. It is good to see everyone here this morning. Another blessing to be able to worship our God in spirit and in truth. In Psalm 100, verse 4, the psalmist says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name." Now, when we look at that verse, one of the things that you'll notice is the psalmist does something two times in that one verse. He connects the thoughts of thanksgiving and praise. In the first stanza of the verse, it says, "Enter with thanksgiving and praise." And then in the second one says, "Be thankful to him and bless his name." So it's thankful to him, being thanksgiving, and bless his name, praise. This time of the year, Thanksgiving is on our minds as we prepare to celebrate a holiday. I know a lot of people who are very excited to eat turkey. I'm actually going to be smoking a turkey, so this year is going to be good turkey. Not, you know, turkey that gets you down kind of turkey. But every year, yes, we have this holiday. But as Christians, we have to be thankful every single day. It's just like remembering the Lord's birth. One day a year? No. Every single day. Remembering that Jesus came and became man. One day a year? No. Every single day. His death on the cross and his resurrection every single day. We need to give God the thanks for everything that he gives us. So I want to ask the question, what are you most thankful for this year? Now, a lot may came up with ideas of, you know, certain blessings that we've had, like a new job or a new home or a new baby or some type of blessing. But I want us to think about it for the few moments that we have this morning about some, and I want to give some reminders as Christians to offer thanksgiving and praise to God. The first reminder, the first suggestion I want us to offer thanksgiving and praise is for all the blessings that God gives us, or rather, a God who blesses us. When you remember the Israelites in the Old Testament, they are the example that we oftentimes will go to for, you know, looking at how God, they were God's chosen people. They were his children, and God rescued them, or rather brought them out of bondage from Egypt to a promised land. That was the course that they were on. But as they went through the wilderness, they started to think about other things. They started relying upon themselves. They even at times thought about, oh, look at all that we have done. Remember the battles that we had gone to and we had won. They started thinking about themselves and forgot about God. They didn't trust in God. They didn't thank God for all that he has done. And sometimes, if you think about it, we are like those Israelites, where at times that we start thinking that all that we have is ours, and it's because of what we have done that we have it, that we've earned it. But that's not the case. It's because God allowed us to have it. It's because of the blessings that he gives. See, a lot of times we focus on the little pictures of life. Another example, Peter. As they're out on the Sea of Galilee one night, just like any, many other nights, they're out in the boat, they're fishing, and they see Jesus out walking on the water. And Peter cries out to Jesus, said, "Lord, if it's you, command that I come out there. And I will." And so Jesus does, and he says, it's all right, now come out. So Peter jumps out of the boat and begins walking on the water to Jesus. Now, what we often point to is the fact that he takes his sights off of Jesus for even a brief moment, and he starts to look at the waves and the wind and the storm all about him, and what happens? He begins to sink. He took his focus off the big picture being Jesus, and his life started to sink. A lot of times in our lives, we get focused with all the things that glitter, all the shiny things that take place, all the things that aren't necessarily bad, but they take our focus off the big picture. Big picture being glorifying God, giving him all honor and credit that is due him. Because we are nothing. Nothing without him. In Psalm 118, verse 1, the psalmist says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Now, I want to take us to the Old Testament in Psalms, Psalm 136, and let's just read Psalm 136. And I want to see if you can pick up on a pattern that the psalmist brings out. Psalm 136. He says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him who made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. To him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever. With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, for his mercy endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his mercy endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, for his mercy endures forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endures forever. Og, king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for his mercy endures forever. A heritage to Israel, his servant, for his mercy endures forever. Who remembered us in our lowly state, for his mercy endures forever. And rescued us from our enemies, for his mercy endures forever. Who gives food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. And then he ends it with the same verse that he began it with. Oh, give thanks to the God of heavens, for his mercy endures forever. God has done so much, not only in the lives in our lives, but in the lives of every single person, every single thing, everything since the beginning of time he has had his hand on. We must be thankful for God, because his mercy endures forever. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. Listen for the mercy. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God is great in his mercy. All throughout our lives, again, in the beginning from the creation, beginning through every working that we have, in every connection that we have with God, he is rich in mercy. We must also be thankful for Jesus. For in him, as Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, we have every spiritual blessing. I encourage you to go and read chapter 1 of Ephesians, because it talks about all the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. And the fact that we not only have that citizenship, but we have guaranteed a place in heaven with him. What a blessing we must be thankful for. We also in Christ find the blessing of salvation and victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, talking about the resurrection and the importance of it to our faith. Because Jesus resurrected from the grave, because his physical body came to life, it is a guarantee that we too will be resurrected on that last day. That's the hope that we have. In him, we have salvation. In him, we have victory. Christians must be the most thankful people in existence, because our existence is not because of anything special that we have done. Our existence is to serve him, to serve a God who continually blesses us. And so we must be thankful. We must praise him for all that he has done. And so we can't forget. We can't forget to stop and count the blessings. We can't stop and or can't forget to stop and not be filled with thanksgiving and praise. Number two, we can offer thanksgiving and praise for our common salvation. In Acts chapter 20, Paul, talking to the elders at Ephesus, gives a warning that they're to watch out for the flock, and that there would be wolves that would come in there, that would be after the church that Jesus purchased with his own blood. Jesus bought the church. And we, as members of his body, have a common thread of salvation that we enjoy. As we talked about a couple Sundays ago, being a part of the family of God, we are special. We are special because God has given us the right to be his children. Now, naturally, we're close to those that we have a common bond with. We're close to those that we have things in common with. But in Christ, we have great things in common. We have a mutual faith, hope, and love. And that alone should cause us to be thankful. In Romans chapter 16, verses 3 and 4, Paul talking about Priscilla and Aquila and how the Roman Christians should greet them because they are fellow workers in Christ. And he tells in verse 4 that they risked their lives. Rather, he says, they risked their own necks for my life. They were willing to sacrifice for the life of Paul. And he says, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. So Paul is that perfect example of offering of thanks to brothers and sisters who are in the church. In Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, Paul says, "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven." Did you notice that? Three times, or rather one time he mentioned it, but faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love, Paul mentions to the church in Colossae, because he says, "I'm praying for you because I've heard of your faith. I've heard of your love. I've heard about the hope." Well, rather, he says it's because of the hope that you have laid up. We mustn't forget that God places those members in the body just as he sees fit. Now, each member of his body, that's us. We're not all the same. We don't all have the same gifts. We don't have the same abilities. But we all do have a part in the body. And each is important. Each member. Because if our physical bodies are lacking, the rest of the body suffers. And so it's true with the spiritual body, the body of Christ. If we are lacking in one area or another, then the rest of the body suffers. And this is why we have a lot of encouragement that we find in scriptures about being together. About taking part of that common salvation that we have. So we must be thankful for the church. We must be thankful for the leadership that is put into our lives that's there to watch out for our souls. Thankful for the word and the sound teaching that we receive. For brothers and sisters who love you and want to help you and others go to heaven. Lastly, we can offer thanksgiving and praise for opportunities to help other people. I don't know if you've ever been in that position before, but it is a tremendous blessing to be able to help people. It's a tremendous blessing to be able to be of service to people. That might not always make it around the table on Thanksgiving when we're going through and we're listing all the things we're thankful for. But we must be thankful for opportunities to serve. We must be thankful for all the times that God gives us to help out one another and be more like Jesus. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Jesus himself said, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus came. Jesus didn't come to be glorified in the body. Jesus came to serve, to give us life, to save man from sin. Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 and following, was thankful to God for the ability to serve. And we must also, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. Paul writes to Timothy, he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul was thankful because God called him. Now, God doesn't look at, well, he looks at where we're at in our life, but he doesn't use that as a be-all. You know, it's like, I used to be not such a good person. I used to be one who really didn't care whether I sinned or not. But God gives us all the opportunity to receive that mercy that he's given us. To be called to do great things for him. And I too am thankful for the opportunity and the ability to serve. And we also must be thankful in all things at all times. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, Paul says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It is the will of God for us to be thankful. It is the will of God for us to pray without ceasing. It is the will of God for us to rejoice at all times. So this holiday season, as we enjoy with our family, as we gather around our tables on Thanksgiving Day, enjoy it. Eat some good food. Enjoy the company. But do not ever forget to fail to see the need to combine your thanksgiving and praise to God. Because he is a God that blesses again and again and again. But he's also a God who, if we get high on that, we put ourselves too high, we exalt ourselves, he will humble us. If you're here this morning and you're struggling through your life, maybe you're here and you're not a Christian, you'd like to learn about how to be pleasing to God. Learn about the mercy that God has and the way that we receive that mercy through being obedient to the gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So if you'd like to learn more about that, or if you'd like to put him on this morning in baptism, we'd like to give you that opportunity. Perhaps you need prayers for your walk, your faith, so that you can continue to offer thanks to God. Whatever the need is, now's the time to come while we stand and sing the song of invitation.